Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 100-1 odds on either fighter to land a punch during the title fight. Pick either main event fighter to land a punch during this weekend's UFC 258 bout, and DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if either main event fighter lands a punch on Saturday. That's code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, we are still, you know, have several new affiliates on our radio side. Just want to mention to them again, because I've gotten some questions on this. You could download our app, Keystone Sports, and if you've missed any of our segments, you could go find them there. That's the app, Keystone Sports, or go to our website, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. All right, Dustin, when we finished up quarter one, we were talking news and notes, and I had mentioned I wanted to hold off on the Will Levis story until this segment so we could give it the time that it deserves. First of all, Will Levis chose to enter the portal. Before we even get into where he ended up, I wanted to ask you if you thought this was a good decision for him. And let's put aside any of the other things that are going on that we may not know. Maybe Happy Valley is just too cold for him or whatever the other reasons. Let's talk about it in kind of a business sense for him with his collegiate and hopefully one day NFL career. Was it a good call for him to enter the portal and leave Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a personal choice, and I wrestle with it sometimes. And you know, he was ticketed for, it looked like, a year or two on the job at Penn State. He had graduated, so it opened up, you know, a whole new batch of options. Will Levis did not, over the past two seasons, had gotten opportunities to see the field, and that's great, but he had not gotten any opportunity really to be able to go out there with any leash whatsoever, any trust from the coaching staff to be asked to take responsibility of the offense. He was really pigeonholed into a certain role, and maybe that would have changed over time. But maybe he looked at what happened with Tommy Stevens and said, you know what, I'm not going to get two more years down the road, have one last shot at it, and then be stuck in that position too, where you know, not that anybody's going to hand anybody anything. Like, I didn't blame James Franklin for making the best decision for his program, you know, and that was having an open competition with Sean Clifford at the time. So I think in this situation, it's such a delicate dance. You know, I think he saw, you know, a gift here from the NCAA where I can go someplace and I've got 3 years to establish myself. I've got a chance to win a starting job outright and maybe get that opportunity to be an actual real life quarterback, Jim. And I don't blame him for taking that chance. And, you know, it wasn't going to happen for him at Penn State. Now, it might not have happened the following year, and then the clock would have been ticking big time at that point.
As a Penn State fan, I wanted him to stick around. First of all, there's not much depth left at quarterback. Plus, I think there's a pretty good upside with Will Levis, and especially as you pointed out, he's got 3 years of eligibility left. But if I'm, you know, Will Levis, I think this was a really smart decision on his part. Much of it because of, you know, the scenario. I think he's been on campus for 3 years, a redshirt year, the pandemic year, which doesn't count against them. So with 3 years of eligibility, if you're another school, you've got to be looking at Will Levis as, hey, I've got a guy with already 3 years of college experience at a big time program in the Big Ten Conference, and I've still got 3 years of eligibility, I would think that would make him very attractive to another coach. And as it turns out, he did make his decision relatively quickly, and that is moving on to Kentucky. Now, question becomes, how do you rate that decision going to play for Kentucky in the Southeast Conference?
Boy, I mean, he's gonna be playing at the highest levels of football. It's a situation where, you know, that job at this point in time looks as winnable as probably any that he would find at a big time program. At any Power Five program, it's really hard to find somebody who's not really entrenched. And they've got a couple guys who have seen time and have gotten a little bit of experience, but none quite built like him, none as experienced as him. Will Levis has a lot of upside. You can see that on tape. He looks unbelievable in shorts. He's just got to kind of make that transition to an actual quarterback. And again, I do feel like you cannot judge Will Levis to a certain point based on what he did and showed at Penn State. He wasn't given an opportunity to work through mistakes. So mistakes ended up, you know, taking him off the field in a lot of cases, or they just had him run when you can clearly see, if you've seen him throw the ball, he's got an unbelievable arm, an unbelievably quick release. You know, I think Kentucky might be that opportunity to work through that, work through the growing pains of being a first-time starter where he wasn't getting that at Penn State. I think it's a good situation for him. It's going to be big boy football down there. You're going to see those, you know, a steady run of five stars from LSU and Alabama on those defensive fronts. You better be ready to make quick decisions and be able to think well on the field. He's got to put his experience from Penn State, he's got to put that to good use down there.
I was wondering, Dustin, what the new offensive coordinator would do. Would Will Levis get all of a sudden a new beginning at Penn State, where he would come into it on an equal footing? And perhaps, you know, James Franklin, Mike Yurcich have been talking about big plays, big strikes down the field, and Will Levis's big arm would be kind of attractive if that's what you're looking to do. Apparently that didn't turn out to be the case. So Will Levis moves on. I think a lot of Penn State fans think fondly of Will Levis and will be rooting for him at Kentucky. So it would have been a whole lot different if he was going to another Big Ten team. We mentioned Mike Yurcich now, the new offensive coordinator. I haven't talked to you since he met the media last week, Dustin. And other than this discussion where it wasn't really clarified, but he was talking about the advantages of putting the quarterback under center. Does that mean we're going to see that, Dustin?
I don't think if you're James Franklin, you make this move and handcuff this guy. You know, you made a power move. You made a cutthroat business move by getting rid of Kirk Schrock after 1 year. I don't think you bring in Mike Yurcich and say, no. That's something that I'm adamantly against. He's coming in to run this offense. And I think he probably, more than Ricky Ronnie, more than Kirk Sciarra, will have his opportunity to put his stamp on it. You know, I guess I kind of bought into the idea that every snap you practice under center is a snap you take away from who you are as an offense. I get that. But clearly Mike Yurcich doesn't. I picture this scenario, Jim, where Mike Yurcich says that and then he's yanked off the stage and is, you will not say that ever again. We've been having this conversation for 7 years around here. You've been here for 7 minutes. You are not going to put me in this situation again. I don't think that happened, but it's funny to think of it.
I was, you know, waiting for during the press conference and all of a sudden to hear his phone going off and, you know, him looking at his phone and it's James Franklin. What the hell are you saying there? You know, we don't do that here, but it will be interesting. I never bought into that. Every time we practice under center, that's time we're not spending doing this other stuff, because you could say that about everything. Every time we practice a running play, that means we're not practicing, you know, a passing play. If it's to the advantage of the offense to be under center, just go do that. The other thing that was brought up, I think it was in the same question, someone asked about the fullback. He's answered the question in a way where they were using, I believe, H-backs, similar to a fullback. But hasn't that already been going on at Penn State, where you would see the tight end in motion and he'd end up blocking, similar to how a full, he would lead the way into the hole anyway. So that was going on at Penn State already.
Yeah, that, I don't think that's anything new. I think James Franken believes in that too. He clearly believes in the idea of tight ends being actual tight ends. He's called them slow wide receivers if they don't block. So I don't think that will be new, but it's almost like Mike Yurcich read the handbook of like how to reach the older Penn State fan base, and he was going to check off all the boxes and do that. I don't know what the message boards look like, but when you have a guy who's got the reputation that he does, who's saying the things that kind of bring back, I don't even want to even call those old school concepts, but they're concepts that people have been clamoring for a while, and you get it. Like going under center, for example, it doesn't matter if the team knows you're going to be running a quarterback sneak. Most of the time they do know you're running a quarterback sneak. It's about being able to stop it or not. Are you able to get a little bit of push, a little bit of a crease? Is your quarterback able to kind of wiggle through? That's what it's all about. So even if that's the only thing you do from under center, even if you don't run any other plays from that formation, working on that and being able to have that at your disposal, I think it's probably overdue. The tight end and fullback thing, a lot of people do that.
A team that literally brought Will Levis in for 17 plays and he ran on every single one of them, 17 out of 17 plays, can't complain about not wanting to be predictable. So that 100%. Argument goes right out the door. There was one other on the lighter side, Dustin, I guess I'll put it. The Penn State Athletic Department, they put out a tweet that said Penn State players have played in every Super Bowl. I didn't realize that, Dustin.
Wow, Jim. Except five. Sorry if I took the punchline from you.
No, that's all right. Just so people understand what we're talking about, they put out this graphic with huge headlines saying Penn State has been in every Super Bowl game and then in very tiny print except for five. What in the world were they thinking, Dustin?
You don't understand the power and consequences of being able to self-publish until you do something like this. Anybody who's been in the publishing world has done something similar to this. And basically what you have, I assume, is somebody who is young or doesn't really grasp the full context of the situation, maybe didn't run it up the flagpole to kind of get the context. Because you and I talked about this, 50 out of 55, whatever the numbers exactly were, is an incredible number. But there's a way to phrase that and there's a way to not. The good thing for Penn State is now they know how not to phrase that.
Hopefully they learned their lesson. Hey, and there's a simple fix. You just need to hire another associate athletic director, Dustin, and that kind of thing would not happen. All right, that is it for news and notes in quarter number two. Stick around in quarter number three. We're going to wrap up the 2021 recruiting class.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight. Just bet $1 on either main event fighter to land a punch, and if that happens, you will cash $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.